I believe memory is a big part of being a Christian. When you remember and think about the times when you couldn't even help yourself and God did. You know, when you couldn't change it, but He did. That's the main thing. You know, when she's singing that song, I remember, you know, I've known them long enough to know some things they went through. And I'm telling you, a lot of times it's that memory and that goodness of God that gets us through these days and these trying times, isn't it? Life's not perfect, but we got a perfect one coming. That's the good news, you know, and I think so often about that. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Appreciate everybody showing up. Hope you come to worship and praise God. I want to share a verse. Yes, ma'am. Amen. We got time. Somebody else remember? What do you remember? What was your trying time and your hour that God got you through when nobody else could? Anybody else? Okay, I'll just carry on. Yes. Amen. Donna says she's been through two rounds of cancer, and praise God she's still here, you know. There's a God that can help. Somebody else? Anybody? Amen. Brandy holler in the back. Monica got her hand up there. Hey, I believe God likes to see these hands go up in church house this day and time, don't you? Praise and honor and glory to God that, you know, He's got us through these situations and helped us through. I'm telling you, there's times in life I wouldn't have made it without His help, you know. And the leadership and guidance that He shows and showing us the things that we need to do. Anybody else before I start? Anybody? Amen. Got you through it. Put a family back together. Unlimited what God can do. Don. Amen. God can help in all situations. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Anybody else? What's on your heart and mind this morning? I'm not going to twist your arm, but I don't know how y'all are, but I've been through church services. When it was over, I thought I should have done this, but I'd held back. I didn't, and sometimes I never got a chance again. So anything else before we go? Amen. Bertha? Amen. Amen. Yeah, He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. Bertha stands up. She's been saved longer than most of us are old. Carolyn? Amen. Amen. Looking back, you know, these things we remember when God took over, when God helped in these situations. Boy, that's an amazing thing. And we serve an amazing, loving, wonderful God. Any others? Anybody else? If He wasn't so tough, I don't believe you'd have made it. Ruth said she spent 24 hours on the garage floor when she broke her hip that day. God is with her. Got her through it. Amen. Mary. Amen. We'll just keep praying. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. That's a blessing, isn't it? Amen. Anybody else? Anything? Yeah, that's true. Every bit of it. Anybody else? Well, let's look to the Word of God this morning. If you'll turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're going to talk a little bit about the Word of God and how He took care of it in the Old Testament. Now, we know this was before the church was started. You know, after grace started and after the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they started setting the church up. And this church is modeled after the family, which had been for some 4,000 years. And so we get through that and understand that the family does make a difference. And that's a pattern for the church this day and time. You know, He sets it up. And He wants it to go that way. And God's got a plan for His church. You know, not just this individual church, but God's got a plan for His church in general. That He's got a plan, the way they ought to carry out the situation, the things they ought to do. And, you know, Jesus went into the temple that time and drove a bunch of people out, wove together some cords and run them out of the temple. He said, I've made this a place of prayer and you've made it everything else. I'm not going in detail on that, but He wasn't pleased. So let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. We're going to talk a little bit about Samuel. We're going to talk a little bit about Eli. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass that at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. So we see a situation, you know, Eli had been God's messenger, and the message came through Eli, and all of a sudden it talks about that the Lord, the word of the Lord that day was precious. There was no open vision given. In other words, we had a children of Israel, God's chosen people, and they weren't hearing the leadership and guidance of God, and things were going downhill. And when we start looking at it about Eli, it said he was old and his eyes had begun to wax dim and he could not see. In other words, he was an older person and he was struggling and having problems. And I read in verse 3 that said, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord. And I got to thinking about the darkness that must have compassed that place and all in that place. You know, it's a place where they always kept a light. They always kept something burning. And so it'd be illuminated in this temple where the ark of God was. And all of a sudden, there was a darkness overtook the temple. Now, I want to preach a little bit this morning about the church also. That, you know, we need to watch about this lamp. We need to watch about this light in the church this day and time that we don't let the light go out. You know, that was a time of darkness in that temple and nobody was hearing from God. And it said the Word of God became precious. Now, I like the thought about being precious, the Word of God. It ought to be precious to everybody because this Word of God's what we have, the promises and the hope we have for eternal life. But when I thought about the situation with Eli, although Samuel was there at that time, the light, the lamp went out in the temple and it became dark. There's a lot of darkness in churches today because they hadn't took care of the light, which is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They hadn't kept Him in the church. In verse 4, it said that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. Now, I'm not going any farther in this about the calling of Samuel, but I want you to notice who called Samuel. God called Samuel. The Lord spoke to him. He did it three times until he fully understood, and he was preparing Samuel to take over in the place of Eli, that his children might have the word of God presented to them, that they might have a leader to guide them in the right direction. God don't leave us hopeless. God didn't leave Israel hopeless, and he don't leave us hopeless. He prepares and has somebody ready to step up and take over in a case like Eli. He had got couldn't see. He had got old. He couldn't take care of the work in the temple. And so God brought on Samuel and called him. Now notice, he called Samuel. The calling of the Lord. I'm going to talk a little bit about it. See, I'm one of them old type people that I believe I was called by God to preach the word. Now, you know, I go through situations with a young man one time, and he was telling me about his schooling and all this, and I said, when was you called? He didn't have an answer. He said, well, I graduated in May. And that's okay to get schooled. There's nothing wrong with that, but you best be called first. When Matt was down in Birmingham, and he is getting his doctorate degree, or down there working on it, and the dean over that college told me down there one time in an ordination service, he told me about that Christian college down there, Samford, and he said, I tell you what we do. He said, you send us a called man, and we'll send you back an educated, called man. He said, you send us somebody not called, we'll send you back a fool. Now, this is the dean of the college, but he had it right. He had an understanding. Now, I don't hope that didn't offend you, that he said, if you send us a called man, he didn't say send us a called woman for a preacher, for a pastor. He said a called man. That's according to the Word of God. Okay, we got the calling of Samuel. Now, I want you to know that from that day forward, Samuel began to do the work of God for a complete lifetime. He spent it for the Lord. Now, you know, I'm talking about just wore himself out doing what God wanted him to do, speaking what God wanted him to say, that he might be a leader and give a direction to God's chosen people, Israel. You know, God don't want us without a leader. He don't want us just milling around like sheep that's lost, but he wants us to have a direction. So through Samuel, they got the direction, and they began to have the word of God again. They began to light the temple up again, and things started to go better. Now in chapter 8, turn over there. Samuel spent his whole life, just wore himself out, I believe, for God. What a great opportunity he had. What a wonderful work Samuel did. In chapter 8, verse 1, and it came to pass when Samuel was old that he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, notice, he went through the whole life. He was called of God, right? Eli didn't call him, God called him. And so he carried on the work that God called him to do. Now, when he comes old and spent his whole life doing the right things, and when he said when he is old, he made his sons judges over Israel. Now, I want you to notice, not called of God, but who made them judges? Samuel. Daddy can't call sons into the ministry. I don't care what anybody says. And I want you to notice that, you know, I guess he thought it would be a good opportunity for him. It'd be a good business. It'd be a good venture for them to get into, that he would put them up as judges. He'd set them in a place of power. In verse 2, it said, now the name of his firstborn was Joel, and the name of his second, Abiah. They were judges in Beersheba. And his sons walked not in his way, but turned aside after lucre and took bribes and perverted judgment. Uh-oh, here you go. Now, you see, they're not called of God, so they're stepping out in the wrong direction. They're after the wrong thing. They're after the profit part of it. They're after the bribery part of it, where it would benefit them, not the children of Israel. I believe Samuel, his whole life, I believe, was all interested in about the benefit and the prosperity of Israel. When these two sons, when he called them to be judges, not God called them. Now, we're talking about Samuel. We read it plain. God called him, and the Lord spoke to him. But these sons were set up by Samuel, and things just weren't going too well. They took the bribes. They took the lucre. They were in it for the money. Any of y'all ever hear any of that today? People in it for the money? Y'all ever considered that fact? Do you wonder sometimes who called them? But it goes a little farther in verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations. Now, here it is. They're understanding, and they know. He said, you know, they came and told him, said, You're old. You can't do this anymore. And it said, Thy sons walk not in thy way. They had turned completely away from the way Samuel walked. Samuel did things that was best for Israel. Samuel did what God asked him to do. The sons went a complete opposite direction. It didn't take long for these children of Israel to say, We're in trouble. We don't have a leader. We don't have a God that's honest, that's truthful, that wants to do the best thing for us. So because Samuel called and set his sons up as judges, Israel had a problem. It'll bring it out every time you get you somebody not called in your pulpit. There will be a problem. You may not see it today. Just give it till tomorrow. There'll be a problem come. In verse 6, it said, But the thing displeased Samuel, when they said, Give us a king to judge us, and Samuel prayed unto the Lord. He was upset. All through this time, now they had had a spokesman for God. They had Eli, and then they had Samuel, and they had before, and they had after. But understand, here comes the children of Israel, God's chosen people, and they come in and they say, Make us like all nations. They wanted to be like everybody else. Guess what? God didn't call them to be like everybody else. And guess what? If you're saved by the grace of God, God didn't call you to be like everybody else. The world can do its thing. The world can have whatever it wants, and you can be different and be all right with God. I'd a lot rather please God than I had the world. It'll get you a lot more benefit, won't it? It'll get you eternal life. It'll get you peace when you lay down to sleep at night because you know you're doing what God has asked you to do. It displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king, let us be like everybody else. You know, I'm not blinded to the fact. I see enough about things going on in the world. I see the change and things happening in the church. And I see the movement that you make the church just like the world. Everybody can say amen. You saw that. I've saw that. And they wanted the church to be like the world, and so everybody will be okay. Well, God set the church up different from the world. He said, Come ye out from among them. He said, We're a peculiar people. Amen. All these things in the New Testament, he said that we're different. And when I think about the king, Israel wanting a king because they wanted to be like everybody else. They looked around them. They saw what everybody else was doing. This country had a king. That country had a king. But I want you to know God, through his power, had already conquered most of those. And they said, Let us be like them. Just let us be like them. I want to tell you something right here. I want to make a statement to you. We may not be like everybody else, but as long as I'm pastor here, I intend for us to be what God intends us for to be. It may be different from everybody you know. You know, I've heard people coming in, they say, Well, so-and-so at that church, they do that. So-and-so at that church, they do that. That's their business. This is mine. Now, let me rephrase that. This is yours. It may be different from everybody else. I don't care. Y'all? So, a little old-fashioned? Yeah. But I can read to you where God likes the things that's past. Anyway, you think about it. Here's Israel. They said, Oh, we want to be like everybody else. It upset Samuel because he knew where they were headed. It upset Samuel, the man of God, because he was close enough to God to know that they were not just rejecting him, they was rejecting God. When they wanted to change, when they wanted to be like everybody else. Verse 7, And the Lord said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Now, you talk about a problem. I'm telling you, Israel's headed for trouble when they refuse God and reject Him, and He shall not reign over them. In other words, when God's not in charge, you got trouble. In this lifetime, you know, the power that's present with us, the presence of God and the presence that He lets the devil have. And if you're not under the leadership and the power of God, guess where you're at? Pretty plain, isn't it? In verse 8 it said, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they also unto thee. And so he said, they've forsaken me, they've rejected me, and so why should you be different? Samuel was God's man. And he talks about when he brought them up out of Egypt. We know all the miracles. We know all the times when the children of Israel wouldn't have made it without the leadership of God. At the Red Sea, they had no hope except in God. When the fiery serpents bit them, they had no hope except in God. When they were starving and without water, they had no hope except in God. They didn't reject Him then. But now that they'd got here and they were pretty good shape, in other words, they had food in their pots, probably had their rent paid, probably had a tank of gas in their car if they'd had one. You know what I'm talking about. They could reject God. But when they were in total need, you know, we've just heard from I can't count them all, several cancer patients in this church. I guarantee you, the day they was told that they had cancer, I doubt any of them rejected God that day. And my prayer and hope is that they live a full life and never reject God. Don't forget what He's done. Israel forgot what God had done for them, brought them out of Egypt, set them free, gave them a promised land, all these things. They had forgot it. Oh, I love that song Beth's singing. Remember the time that He brought you out of slavery. Somebody thought, I never was a slave. I was slaved one time to habits and slavery to a lot of things, you know. That's slavery. If something dominates your life, you're a slave to it. And God's brought us out of a lot of things, you know. And a lot of people say, well, you're just talking about drugs, you're talking about that. I'm talking about a lot of things can enslave you. But Jesus said, I set you free, you're free indeed. And that's what He's talking about. In verse 9 it said, now therefore hearken unto their voice, howbeit yet protest solemnly to them and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them. And he goes through verse after verse after verse and goes into great detail, telling them how bad it's going to be, what's going to happen, things that's going to take place, that when they turn away from God, things are going to change. I want to tell you what, in churches today, when you turn away from God, when you want this church or that church to be like the world and you turn away from God, it's not going to be a pretty thing. And I preach that hoping that somebody would wake up and understand. You know, I see the way the church is going. It's going the way of the world. Not going God's way. That's not His way. He told them about all the manner of this king is going to be over them, but it didn't change their mind. They said, well, we want to be like everybody else. Let me give you a warning. Being like everybody else is not always a good thing. Sometimes it pays to be that one that's different. That one that knows that you possess Jesus Christ in your life. That you know God's dominating, God's leadership, and guiding you in all the ways of righteousness. It's good to be different, isn't it? It's a good thing to be different. Amen. And you'll have an influence and a power if you're different. If you'll show in a community, you'll be different. You won't know the number of people that I walk into the store somewhere, wherever it might be, and they don't buy their beer till I leave. Pam don't even like to see me come in on Sunday or Saturday night. I just rejoice in the fact I don't say nothing to them. I ain't never said nothing to nobody except the one that wanted me to take him up the road and haul his beer. And I said, well, I'll take you, but your beer can't go. I don't carry it. I said, if I was to wreck and had that beer in my truck, I said, that'd be talk all over this country, wouldn't it? And I'm just saying that to let people know, when you follow God, when you obey what He asks you to do, you will be different than the world. And people will see that difference. You know, people are quick to pick up on difference, right? You know, they're quick to pick that up. And that's okay. Be different. Be what God wants you to be. I'd a lot rather be what God wants me to be than what the world wants me to be. The world don't have eternal life. The world don't have peace. The world don't have joy. These are things they seek after. They don't have, but they seek for them. God has all those. Y'all stand. We're going to be dismissed. Good to see everybody.